Welcome to the Casual Fridays REI podcast, where you'll learn about the wildly profitable niche of land investing. Active land investors Adam Southey and Justin Sliva are here to share their experiences with you so that you can learn how to build massive cash flow and huge profits from this highly lucrative niche. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Adam Southey and Justin Sliva.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Adam Southey here with my co-host, Justin Sliva, and this is the Casual Fridays REI podcast. Today, we're talking about your pipe dream and your goals and how to work backwards and get those. Before we do that, though, let's talk about the Casual Fridays land flipping blueprint. Guys, if you're thinking about getting into this industry, this is it. This is the course you want to buy. Justin and I spent months doing consulting calls and helping people out before we ever put this course together. So what's that mean for you? Well, for one, because we've done so much consulting, we know where people get hung up, and we've addressed those issues in this course. But also, you've got two experienced land investors who came together and took the best parts of each of their business and laid them out for you in an easy-to-follow video format. So if this excites you and you're thinking about getting into this industry, all you got to do is go to our website at www.casualfridaysrei.com. Click on the training tab, and then you can either book a call with us. We'll get any questions you have answered, or you can just go ahead and purchase the course. If you know this is what you want, go ahead and get it. So that's it. Yeah, so get out there and get started.
Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday.
Man, we're going to talk about dreams today. I love talking about dreams. I live in a constant state of dreaming.
Yeah, well, we're dreamers and doers. That's what makes that's the difference.
We do a little bit.
Yeah.
We actually tried some stuff.
Once or twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. I always go back to how we got here. And it's cool. Last weekend, a buddy of mine from Denver came in. He was actually my engineer instructor at the railroad when I became an engineer. And we've remained friends over these years. That was in 2007. And, it's 2019 now. And that's what he told me last night, this past weekend. He's like, man, when I met you, I just knew you had more potential than to be a union worker pulling a throttle.
Yeah, well, you see that.
Yeah. So the guy that I was in the class with, me and him were partners in the class, and we were both top guns in our class. We had the highest scores all the way through and then the highest simulator runs. And
wait, just to be clear, JD did say he gave that award to everybody.
He was joking because
I wasn't there. I don't have any proof.
Comment,
I
mean,
I just
got to
go with what the instructor said.
The comment he told me while we were in class was, I could probably just let you teach this class, and I wasn't even qualified yet. Mm. I'm just saying that's how it goes.
I mean, that's easy. Yeah, easy to say when no one's there to verify.
No proof. Prove it. But I talked to him, and that guy still works at the railroad. He's a union, I think a local chairman now. He's still an engineer. He's a great, great mechanic and client guy. He's an awesome guy. And he's like, yeah, it's just funny how all of us have gone different directions in that, that 12 years. Mm-hmm. But it's cool to me to see, these things that you just subconsciously see and taste and, feel. I always go, for me, it's cars. Like, I'm just a car guy. Like, I was looking at wraps for these crazy, it's a new thing for these high-end exotics. They're wrapping them in marble or wood looks.
Gross.
I know at first it's on the surface, it sounds like I saw some of these stuff and I was like, wow, that's a wooden Aventador. That's amazing looking.
Amazing?
Yeah. I thought it was cool.
I'd have to see this. I don't know. That doesn't sound up my alley.
Yeah. And then my next process is what do these people do that they can just buy a $500,000 car and put a $5,000 wrap on it to make it I'm going to make it look like a wooden car today.
Yeah. I do think that a lot too. You see people just buying outrageous stuff all the time, but then my gut instinct always goes back to they're leasing it. They're spending every dollar that they make and it's not true wealth.
Yeah.
Cause there's obviously a lot of wealthy people, but it seems like because of the Instagram flex that there's so many more people than there really are.
Yeah, I get that. And I watch Uncle G and he has that stuff on there about, hey, for every dollar you give me, I can make it look like three, mm-hmm. Leveraging up.
He's been on a tear lately.
Oh, dude, he's coming after everybody.
Someone must have made him mad.
Nah, I think he's just proving a point. He's like, you want flex? Let's flex.
Yeah.
And that
he's got such a valid point, though, too. It's like, quit wasting your money on all this fake stuff.
Yep.
Go buy assets that pay for it.
Yep. No, I get it 100%. And my mind is there with him, especially with the recent economy shift and the stock market's doing what it's doing. It's like, okay, well, what what do you invest in?
Is the stock market really doing what it's doing? Because it's still super high.
It is. But you saw like last week, I think in the past week, we had a drop one day of like 650 points or something like that.
But it's still like 100 times higher than it's been. And
it's still doing extremely well. Yeah. But that makes you wonder like, hey, in the stock market, there's ebb and flows, there's ups and downs. And you look at it the long term, the trajectory is always up. But there are mortgages trading at negative percentages. Like they were paying you to take their money in certain countries. That's kind of scary to me.
Well, that kind of goes back to what we talked about Wednesday, you know, and who's running all, who's managing all this stuff? You know, what does their stuff look like?
Yep. No, I get it.
Just keep moving forward with our land and
yeah,
we'll use that as currency if we have to.
Just trading land. I'll give you 1 acre in Nevada for
a set of tires.
A set of tires for 2 goats. Yeah. I mean, and I wonder if it comes back to that.
What do you mean?
Like to actual barter system. I mean, that's what I think drove gold to the height it did here in the last 10 years where gold just went crazy, where people are thinking, I better have some gold to trade if I want some groceries.
Yeah. You own gold, right?
Yeah.
And you keep it where?
I'm not telling you that. I own a bunch of gold and some bunch of silver, and I actually have copper bars too. Got onto that flex. I don't think that one's actually going to pan out.
Well, anyway, what are we talking about today? Oh, your pipe dream and your goals. We're not talking about whatever we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Pipe dream and goals.
So like for me, this topic comes like if I were to sit back and I were like, man, that deal would be amazing. Like I can visualize what that looks like to me. Like to me is this is like this big country club ranch that you've like they got the drone flying down the road that comes through it under the gate, comes through and it's just kind of subdivided back in there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, gentleman ranches that are 100 acres, but this place is just manicured and beautiful.
I don't like that one that I can't remember her name, but that Fort Worth realtor that has that big Scurry County Ranch.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be bad.
That's a pipe dream.
Yeah. And so imagine doing you get one of those subdivisions a year, each one, you know, you're in them for say $100,000 each subdivide or $200,000 each subdivide, and you're making $100 off each one and you sell 6 of them a year, 7 of them a year.
You're saying go buy a ranch for $100,000?
Saying the pieces that you've got in there. So maybe it's 10 of those and you've paid $1 million for it. And so you've got $100,000 in each gentleman's ranch inside of that. So say it's 1,000 acres, you're selling them as 100 acres each.
Okay, so you went and bought 1,000 acres for $1 million.
Yep.
And now you split them into 10.
Yep.
You've got $100,000 at each one, and now you're reselling each one
for $200,000, $250,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the dream. That's the pipe dream.
Once a year, that's your project for the year. You just come out and you know get some trophy deer out there, maybe some axes. I think that's cool. I'd love to see the hype video for that. Mm. It flies in under the gate, comes up, and then you've got these axes running from the drone, and it's over the top of it. And then you see like a waterfall or something in there, the water feature, the pond.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just like, make this your hidden oasis.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the part of this show, right, is the how to work back to that.
Yeah.
So what do we do?
We got to find the ranch.
Well, first, we got to find the ranch. You're right.
Yeah. Got to find that piece. And I went on this, like, I don't want to say shiny object, squirrel chasing the nut thing about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. But I got into this idea of, how do I say this, with, I'm going to call them, like, I don't want to call them executive, but like these really nice, I can't think of the term, nice ranches or places and that you did a timeshare on. So you want to have this big estate, right? But you're going to use it realistically like a month a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so having that to where you buy 12, you sell it in 12 shares, but you have like this manor or this estate and it's 12 families that share it. So you book your weekend. So if you go every 12th weekend, that's your weekend, or 12th week is your week, you know, and it has the mules, it has the cows, you got a ranch manager out there, but you're only paying for a 12th of it. And you have a property management company that manages it.
Does each person get their own house?
No, it's the same house. So it's like, it'd be kind of like your family just having a generational castle or manor or ranch somewhere that everybody in the family uses, but you have certain dates to do it.
Yeah.
A fractional ownership.
The thing that, I guess it's kind of like staying in a hotel too, but I just immediately go, you want me to like sleep in the same bed that 11 different families have been in? And but it's the same as a hotel.
Yeah, it's the same.
Does the property management company come out and clean them?
Yeah, after every time that somebody comes in, cleans it, new sheets, you know, you have the stuff there that you're going to want for that. You know, whether it's your I don't want to call it a lodge because it's not open to whoever pays to go there, but it's open to these, you know, what if it's 10 families or 5 families and they all split it and allows you to get into this luxury estate more than you would if you could afford on your own.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, the point of the show was the how do we work back to the pipe dream?
Yeah.
Like with the ranches, okay, you identify a place and you either mail for big stuff or you find a realtor that's got something that's listed, yep. right? Well, how do we do something like that too?
Yeah.
I'm asking, how do we go set the...
Oh, on that one. That one, I started running down properties and pricing them out and seeing what it would cost and then doing the fractional ownership piece of that, saying, okay, hey, you can... It's essentially like subdividing a big ranch, but you're subdividing a place and ownership pieces, and then you can hold the note on that. Mm-hmm. And then there was an arbitrage against that, so the play there, because you're financing it, then you have a wraparound behind these people paying you on it with a percentage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm the thing about this is that, because we're talking about pipe dreams, right? Mm-hmm. It's with this network we've had, mm-hmm. and now that we know how to go buy land, if your pipe dream involves land, I'm assuming it does because you're talking yep. to us and you're trying to build businesses, but... If you are worried about money, okay, or our network is big enough where you can always find the money.
Yep.
If you know how to mail, so all you got to do is work backwards to hit it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like in our group the other day, our closed group, Tim Flood posted something about a timber play.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone was interested, and I think the last time I looked, there was like 40 comments of people.
Yeah, it was a black walnut lakefront. Hey, we're going to select harvest it and then we're going to subdivide down. I mean, it's a great play. I love mm-hmm. that play.
Mm-hmm.
It is slow. It is not something that's faster, but it is a viable play. And it surprised me how many people were interested in that.
Yeah. I saw it and I was like, oh yeah, that's definitely interesting. And something happened. And I'll come back to it. I came back 40 people deep. I'm like, well, I guess I missed the boat on that one. But that's kind of the thing is, right? He had this dream. Okay. Because he even started, hey, who's interested in doing something that's not the typical buy low, sell high?
Yeah.
And then he put it out there and like I said, 40 comments later.
I'd be willing to bet that it's still being bought under market value.
Yeah, I would assume so too.
Yeah.
But it's all about the point is you have the dream, you figure out how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's can be done with anything. If your dream is to buy 50 properties a year, well, you know it takes X amount of mail to do that. You mm-hmm. work backwards, you get it done.
Yeah, and that's a valid point for him. You know, he started with what the story he told on it was, I've met the timber guy that's local. He said he could harvest it, clean it. We had this conversation. My question was surveyed. Do you know how much your survey is going to cost? You're going to have a survey to do the cut. So they make sure you're cutting your property. But are you surveying for the subdivide too at the same time? Or are we going to do that later? What's the additional cost there? Because like the Virginia deal we're doing right now, we're waiting on a survey to get finished up. And it's like $9,300 for the 220 acres to survey that. And that gets us the property. And then it's like another $1,500 to $2,000 to do the subdivide of it.
Wow.
And so you throw that, you get the outside done, you do the select harvest. When do we have them come back out and do that? So you start working through those time frames and what actually needs to take place. But when you lay it out and step by step with actionable items,
mm-hmm.
it really doesn't sound that hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the fear of when you have those kind of ideas of how yep. to get it done. But you know, it's just like anything. You write it down, you lay it out. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. It just really takes that
yeah.
away.
Like if we use that for example. That's a great example. I'm glad you brought it up. But we use that for example. Hey, I want to buy this lakefront property. We're going to select harvest some certain type of tree on it. And then we're going to subdivide it.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, a lot of people look at that and they go, oh, crap.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first step is you got to make sure the numbers make sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if the numbers make sense, you put the property under contract. You're going to send, it's in Oklahoma, so it's going to go to the abstract office. They're going to get an attorney's opinion. Attorney's going to say if there's any curative stuff that needs to be done on deed, get that done. Now you get it closed. You're going to get a survey during that time. Now you got a survey. You take that to your timber guy. He's going to do your timber consult. He's going to walk through it and say, yeah, I've got this here. This is what we think it is. This is our money we're offering you. You can use that and try to negotiate outside of that for another one to get a couple bids, because typically it's good to get a couple bids for that. Then you just do it. You say, okay, yeah, you're who I want to use. Go.
Yeah, if the numbers make sense,
yeah,
then it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I like how Tim said he had already talked to a timber person beforehand.
Yep.
And so that takes out a lot of worry, too.
Yeah. Because
right? you've already found someone that could buy timber.
Yeah.
They can walk it with you, give you a price. And so you know what the timber guy will buy it from you. Now just work backwards on what you need to get it for to make that work.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. And so those are the type deals I like to see. You know, the longer play. I'm starting to pull back a little bit on what I'm keeping out in inventory for land. I want to put some stuff more towards some passive stuff. We've created a lot of notes. We have that coming in. We've got 10 years worth of notes lined up. We've got other parts of our business. But for me, those a little bit slower play, a little more complicated, a little higher dollar properties is like where my mind is at right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that too. Like I love cash flowing land stuff, but eventually it pays off.
Yep.
And you got to go buy more. So if you're buying 100 a year, well, for a few years, everyone's just paying on them, but mm-hmm. eventually they start paying off. So then you got to buy 100 a year just to maintain whatever number you have.
Yep.
And while that's great and it's easy to do, especially once you've got systems in place, sometimes you just want that generational
yep.
wealth. And I don't know if you just go buy much bigger properties and you list them for 30 plus years owner finance, but obviously yep. then you got to have a ton of money, or you got to be leveraging money to do it. And,
yeah.
Or you move into something bigger like a self-storage or something along those lines.
Apartments.
Yeah, apartment, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the leveraging money thing has like really been where my mind has been this week. We're running through a model right now on some syndication stuff where we leverage it 20 to 30 cents on a dollar and put that into those plays. And that's a thing to me that I'm like, I'm just so fascinated by. And it's like, so you're telling me for 200 grand, I have $1 million.
Well, so sometimes it sounds a little confusing when you say that. You put a down payment of $200,000 yeah. and a bank will give you $1 million loan. Yep.
And they lock it in an interest rate mm-hmm. and then you arbitrage against that.
Yeah. So you take that million and you put it into something that pays more than what your payment is.
Yep.
Yeah.
So like for in this model we were looking at it, we put up the 200 or the 300, I'd just call it 200. And then after everything's said and done, you know, we get paid back $120,000 at the end of the year. Over the course of the year, well, and we owe 56 back.
That's if you buy something that cash flowed 120.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's yeah. not. Yeah,
so it's not like you just buy
$1 million and yeah. I get that money back. No, yeah. you're buying into an asset that's cash flowing that.
Yeah,
and that's your guaranteed preferred rate or whatever that looks like.
Yeah,
you know those are the type of deals right now that are just like gnawing in my mind. One of my mentors and guys I talked to, he was telling me about a play they made on a warehouse, and it just blew my mind the amount of money they'd made and how it raised their net worth and their ability to help their clients and their customers. And it was an unreal deal. And that just stemmed me off in this like spiral of I guess you ever have those aha moments and it connects all these other things that you've been told or heard. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it right there. And how do we continue to do that? And what does that look like long-term for us? Because you're exactly right. And my mentor had said this to me when I first got started, and I was telling him about cash flow on the land and having payments and terms set up. And he goes, you do realize they all end one day though, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, but that's like 5, 7, 10 years from now. He's like, but they still end. Mm-hmm. You know, he goes, these deals that I'm doing over here, it's forever mm-hmm. until you sell the property, but you still have it there. And if somebody offers you money on it and the price makes sense, then you sell the property. But if not, you're continually getting paid. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I'm like, I guess it was where I was at in my life. I wasn't worried about 20 years from now. I was worried about right now in the next 5. Mm-hmm. So if we looked at our pipe dreams and our business, what does that look like for the next 20 or 30 years? How are you set up? Are you set up for that? How do you get there and you work your way back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and going back to what you said about that point in your life, it made sense. Mm-hmm. Like not everyone can go get $200,000, $300,000, but you can go get $200,000, $3,000, $5,000.
Yep.
And then you take $200,000, $300,000, $5,000 as a down payment, mm-hmm. get all your money back, and then you have solid cash flow for 5, 7, 10 years.
Yeah.
And that makes so much sense in people's lives right now, because as we both know, like there's more people with very little money than there are people with a lot of money that are trying to get into any industry.
No, and you're exactly right. And we had a phone call, I think, last weekend with a client, and he said, hey, you know, I've got a few $1,000. I'm kind of wondering how I should disperse this. And I think we gave him some pretty solid advice, but it brought me back to my first mailer. And I go, most people tell you not to leverage anything. And I had cash and I had a good job, so I was making good money. We had bought 21 properties and we sold a bunch of them on terms. And it wrapped up 20 grand in term deals right off the bat. We made a lot of cash on this as a whole, but I went out and took an unsecured note off a signature for $20,000. My payment on that was $700. I think it was a 3-year note. I think it was $750. My cash flow coming in on the terms was $1,400. And so what we did was we just took half our terms and paid that. The other half, so we had $700 positive cash flow. We had our 20 grand back to buy 3 more properties that's when we got into the Bass Boat property and looked at it and went from there and just kept growing our business. So because we took a little bit of leverage at the beginning, because we really believed in ourselves and we had no other, I mean, really didn't have any other choice, but how do you scale? This is what you do to scale, is we took that leverage there and put it to work for us, which we recovered, you know, as long as nobody stopped paying, we didn't default on everything. We recovered by those notes, not to a point where we were maxed out, but we had a 50%, you know, debt to payment ratio, if you will. And it it helped catapult us to a point where we wouldn't have been able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think about that at that small level. And then if you added a zero or two zeros to that, what that looks like. And, you know, for me now, going out and buying a $2,000 20-acre property, I probably would be kind of sloppy at looking at the due diligence on it if I was self-closed, just because I'm like, ah, it's $2,000. I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah.
But at that time, you know, that $500 property that we're buying, 5 acres, or the $2,000 or $2,400 20-acre, you know, it was a big deal. And so the perception, the mindset, the comfort levels all change because we knew where we were trying to get to, and we continually push forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm real hesitant to push people towards leveraging at first. Mm-hmm. In your situation, it was different because even if no one paid, you could still afford the $700 and it would have been fine. Not everyone is in that situation, though, but there is really good value in being able to leverage when you get going, especially if your payment's $700 and you're getting $1,400 in cash flow. But you got to be real careful because if you can't afford it, well, then you just messed everything up.
If it fails and it falls on you. Yeah, and that's right. And that's understanding your risk and things like that. J.P. Morgan says, go as far as you can see. When you get there, you'll be able to see further. And I think that makes perfect sense for us in this situation. You know, you may not know how to do a $1 million deal today, but keep working forward, follow the basics, move up. And then as you continue to get more experience, more time in the seat, more deals that you've looked at and understand the different ways they are, you'll be able to go a little bit further.
Mm-hmm. I think that was a really good point. I think that's a good place to
call it.
Call it, yeah, because that was pretty solid. Where'd you come up with that?
It was a meme.
You got deep and educational. I liked it.
Yeah, it's Motivation Friday.
Yeah, well, you got me. So we're going to leave it on a high note right there. And we hope you guys have a solid weekend. While you're out there, go to Facebook and Instagram, give us a like, give us a follow, and then go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to wherever else you're listening to us, like and review the show 5 stars. We love you for it. We'll see you Monday.
Yeah, have a great weekend, guys.